Sandy tilted it into the bag and felt a little bit better when the weight slid off the shovel. After Tony had gotten the sack of the liquid-absorbing red sawdust they kept for oil spills and sprinkled it over the gooey stain in the corner, both of them felt better. Tony twirled the top of the garbage bag with the creature inside, then knotted it. Once that was done, the two of them started backing toward the door. Tony stopped just before they reached it. "Photo that," he said, pointing to a place high on the roll-up door behind the Buick, the door through which Johnny Parker had towed the car in the first place. To Tony Shaindinks and Sandy Dearborn, that already seemed like a long time ago. "And that, and there, and over there." At first, Sandy didn't see what the Sarge was pointing at. He looked away, blinked his eyes once or twice, then looked back. And there it was. Three or four dark green smudges that made Sandy think of the dust that rubs off a moth's wings. As kids, they had solemnly assured each other that moth dust was deadly poison. It would blind you if you got some on your fingers and then rubbed your eyes. "You see what happened, don't you?" Tony asked as Sandy raised the Polaroid and sighted in on the first mark. The camera seemed very heavy and his hands were still shivering, but he got it done. "No, Sarge, I don't guess I do. Whatever that thing is, bird, bat, some kind of robot, drone, it flew out of the trunk when the lid came open. It hit the back door, that's the first smudge, and then it started bouncing off the walls. You ever seen a bird that gets caught in a shed or a barn?" Sandy nodded. "Like that." Tony wiped sweat off his forehead and looked at Sandy. It was a look the younger man never forgot. He had never seen the Sarge's eyes so naked. It was, he thought, the look you sometimes saw on the faces of small children when you came to break up a domestic disturbance. "Man," Tony said heavily. "Fuck." Sandy nodded. Tony looked down at the bag. "You think it looks like a bat?" "Yeah," Sandy said. Then, "No." After another pause, he added, "Bullshit." Tony barked a laugh that sounded somehow haggard. "That's very definitive. If you were on the witness stand, no defense attorney could peel that back." "I don't know, Tony." What Sandy did know was that he wanted to stop shooting the shit and get back out into the open air. "What do you think?" "Well, if I drew it, it'd look like a bat," Tony said. "The Polaroids we took also make it look like a bat. But I don't know exactly how to say it, but it doesn't feel like a bat," Sandy said. Tony smiled bleakly and pointed a finger at Sandy like a gun. "Very zen, grasshopper. But those marks on the wall suggest it at least acted like a bat, or a trap bird. Flew around in here until it dropped dead in the corner. Shit, for all we know, it died of fright." Sandy recalled the glaring dead eye, a thing almost too alien to look at, and thought that for the first time in his life, he could really understand the concept Sergeant Shaindinks had articulated. Die of fright? Yes, it could be done. It really could. Then, because the Sarge seemed to be waiting for something, he said, "Or maybe it hit the wall so hard it broke its neck." Another idea came to him. "Or, listen, Tony, maybe the air killed it." "Say what?" "Maybe..." But Tony's eyes had lit up and he was nodding. "Sure," he said. "Maybe the air on the other side of the Buick's trunk is different air. Maybe it'd taste like poison gas to us. Rupture our lungs." For Sandy, that was enough. "I have to get out of here, Tony, or I'm going to be the one who throws up." But what he really felt in danger of was choking, not vomiting. All at once, the normally broad avenue of his windpipe was down to a pinhole.